we're here, folks, for the second edition of Off the Cuff, or the OTC. I don't know if that's going to be the name in the future. I don't know. We got lots of emails about the name, but for right now, it's still Off the Cuff, OTC number two. In studio with me, as always, the man, the mystery, the myth, Cameron Hale. How you doing, sir?
Peachy keen, just still in here laughing, going what we're fixing to talk to these people
well,
about.
Well, you know, to start off, I'm going to start off with a rant. I know people like rants.
This is going to be the old man rant. This is going to be every time.
I just don't understand
a lot
why all these corporations have the jack with stuff. Like, first of all, like, I've been using iPhones for years, and then out of the blue, they decide, well, you know, we're just going to change the charging cord just to a Thunderbolt cord. And I cannot see a good reason for that other than to sell more cords. And so, like, all my headphone or earbuds and stuff, they're all useless. No, I got to throw them out. Not unless I want to use that little monkey tail thing.
Yeah.
Adapter, which they can sell more of those. It's just like in the ways of Apple. There's a ceiling fan here in the studio. Cam's son's an electrician. He was kind enough to install that in studio years ago. Well, it's got a remote control because this is a fancy ceiling fan. And it takes in the remote, you can turn it on, you can turn it off, you can turn it on low, you can turn on medium, you can turn on high, and you can even dim the lights. Well, I got in here today and it was a little warm and I wanted to turn the fan on. Guess what? Nothing happens. I'm like, no big deal. Change the batteries in the remote. That's got to be the problem. I pull the cover off the remote.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's got the strangest battery I've ever seen in it. It's not a AAA. It's not a AA. It's something in between, some kind of hybrid that's called an A. Let me see here. What does this say? A23G. 12 volt. I'm like, who in the hell decided to start using this battery? I've never seen this battery in my life. What was wrong with a 9 volt battery, like a square one? What was wrong with a AA battery? What's wrong with a AAA battery? Now they got to come up with the A23G. Now I understand if you were creating something for NASA and you needed something to be small, but you needed it to be powered, so you had to custom make a special battery for that need. This remote, there's no way in hell that thing would not accept a AAA battery, a 9-volt square battery, or a AA battery. So why they decided to do that, I have no idea other than they own stock in the company that makes these batteries, because this is not Energizer. This is not EverReady. This is Mocell. Never even heard of Mocell. Mocell, Mo Problems. That's all I can tell you, because today I can't turn the fan
Mo
on.
Mocell, Mo Problems.
Don't you hate that?
Yes.
Why do they got to come up with something new? 3.5 millimeter, the jack, like I was talking about on the phone, universal. Everybody's been using 3.5 millimeter for years.
And?
All of a sudden, Apple's like, nah, that's no good. We're tossing it out. Have you ever noticed this, if you're an iPhone user, that you get updates, and then once your phone gets about 2 years old, the updates start increasing, and then your phone starts acting worse?
Yeah.
I swear to God, the updates aren't updates. I mean, they're making your phone worse because they're trying to get you to go back into the store.
I don't do them.
To get another one. I try not to, but sometimes you accidentally hit a button. You're like, what I meant to hit. Remind me later.
And then next,
And then 20 minutes later, and then all of a sudden you got new apps. Like, I noticed I got this new measuring app. It's pretty cool.
I wouldn't use that, but
I wouldn't use it over a tape measure. But, if you're in a pinch, I guess, and you want
to. In a pickle? If you was in a bit of a pickle?
Look, check it out. It's got a level. See, so I can stick it on here and it'll show if it's level or not. If you're trying to level a picture.
Hey, I do like that. Yeah. That came with the update?
Yeah, it was on the update.
And I guess I may have to do it
right now.
No, I'm scared. What if somebody needs to get in touch with me while my phone's updating? Because your phone don't work when it updates.
Nobody needs to get a hold of
that. I really honestly don't know why I have one other than work. Like, nobody talks to me.
See, check this out. You can, like, put it on something.
What is that?
Hold on. See, I can measure the wall.
Does it actually work pretty good?
Yeah, see, it just shows that it's 12 inches. And this is 12 inches.
Oh, I was like, no, it doesn't show
foot
you
square.
12 inches. Okay.
Why does his mind have to go there, folks? I apologize. There's always
what you should
be
apologize
some...
for is not wearing a cap in studio today, because that is glaring.
If I had the fan to work, I wouldn't have to. But yeah, you can measure.
You need somebody to put some powder on that.
Speaking of powder.
Some foundation or something. That shit's rough, bro.
Speaking of powder, did you ever see that movie?
Yeah. You kidding?
I think I saw it a long time ago, but I don't really remember what happened.
I remember what happened that you were fixed to talk about when you got arrested buying a snow cone.
Oh, yeah. Did I ever tell that story?
You probably did, but it's still funny. Tell it again. And then I'm going to tell about the time I almost died hunting pigs, like when I was attacked by hogs.
All right. I'll tell this story. So this happened years ago. This was before me and my wife were married. We've been married 10 years now. We've been together 14 years. And there's a buddy of mine that didn't live too far from where we were living at the time. when I say nearby, I would say a mile and a half, 2 miles. And it was summertime. So we would go over there and hang out and swim in his pool. He had a nice in-ground swimming pool. So we were over there one day. It was like a Thursday or something. It wasn't summer. That's right. It wasn't summer because the kids were in school, but it was warm out. So it could have been early September or it could have been like even May.
Yeah.
Anyways, me and Delay were swimming. And at some point during the day, she looks up and goes, "Hey man, I want a snow cone." So I'm like, "Well, all right. That doesn't sound bad. I know where there's a snow cone stand, not that far. We're talking 8 blocks down the road." So there's no need to get dressed. I just wear my swimsuit and my flip-flops or my slides, however you want to call them.
Step-ins.
My step-ins.
Thong, the thong kong.
And Delete gets in the passenger seat, and we drive down to get a snow cone. Well, we go to the stand, and I get my favorite flavor. I like coconut myself, and I don't remember what she got, tiger's blood or something fancy, yeah. You know?
Something fancy.
And we're back, and about a block away from leaving the snow cone stand, right in front of an elementary school, I see the lights. There's a cop behind me. Pulls me over and I'm like, what's going on? I got my seatbelt on. I look, my registration's good. I know I have insurance. I'm pretty sure I wasn't speeding. So, you know, I'm
pretty sure.
Well, you know, sometimes I speed. I'm not going to lie. That's why I don't want one of those Allstate insurance things where they like give you a discount if you have to plug it in your car. I'm like, yeah, so they can monitor if I'm breaking any driving violations. Of course, I break them on the reg. I ain't putting that in my car.
Telling
my rates
myself.
Will go up. Yeah, you're ratting on yourself. You done played yourself. DJ Khaled style.
You done played yourself.
So I'm sitting there in the car and I'm waiting. The cop's taking a longer than normal time, but I know what he's doing. He's probably running my license plate, blah, blah, blah. So he comes walking up to the car. How are you? You know, you have your driver's license, your insurance and all that stuff. Registration, give him all that. Mr. Filson, you know why I'm pulling you over today? I was like, no, sir, I have no clue. And he goes, well, you have a warrant out from McKinney, Texas. I'm like, well, McKinney, Texas. McKinney, Texas is about 70 miles from where we live. And I'm like, well, I don't know what the heck I got a ticket up there for. And I was like, what was it for? He's like, well, you had a registration sticker was expired and you got a ticket for that like 3 years ago. I totally forgot. I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah. Well, the bad news is there's a warrant for your arrest because you never took care of that ticket. I'm like, oh, are you serious? I was like, well, how much is it? And he's like, well, it's probably like $300. I'm like, oh, okay. And he's like, well, but I got to arrest you. And I'm like, what?
Can't I just give you the money?
He's like, I got to arrest you, but sit tight real quick. I got to go back to my car and, you know, talk to the dispatcher or whatever. So he goes back to the car and I'm looking at Delia.
Did you punch it?
No. I'm looking at Delia. I'm like, oh crap. I go, well, he said it was like $300. I was like, if you go back to the house, if you go in my dresser underneath the top drawer and the inside, there's like $1,000, $2,000 cash in there.
Like, just get my money.
But you come get me out if they do take me. And she's like, yeah, okay. So the cop comes back and he's like, yeah, I got to arrest you. Your girlfriend can drive the car home and she can come down to the station and pick you up. And I'm like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, it's just a rule. I have to put you in cuffs. So now I'm standing in front of an elementary school. I have nothing on but like some Billabong swim trunks and some flip-flops and the cop's putting the cuffs on me. So all the kids
in
like,
a Raiders jersey.
And I didn't have a jersey. I had nothing on. Nothing. All the kids are, whoa, look. You know, I mean, I can hear them. Half of them are laughing.
Yeah.
Half of them are like wanting to know what I did. So he puts me in the back seat of the car.
Part two of my killing spree going to start in here.
Yeah. Now, if you've never been arrested before, now this isn't my first time, but if you've never been arrested before, the back seat's like hard plastic. It's not like nice. It doesn't feel like you're riding a Lincoln or a Cadillac.
And they didn't cuff you up front.
But he wasn't a jerk. I mean, like he didn't like stuff me hard in there. And he's like, just sit tight and I'll get you out of here. So now I'm sitting in the back of the cop car. And I don't know what he's doing. He's doing something with his computer. And I'm sitting there with my hands behind my back with the cuffs on. And there's like literally kids beating on the window, pointing at the cop car, looking at me. And I'm just like, I am such a piece of crap. All of this for a snow cone. So
if she had, it's her fault. If she didn't want a snow cone, you wouldn't have gone to jail.
None of this would have happened, right? So then they take me downtown. And of course, when they get you downtown, they tell you what the crime was. It was an unpaid traffic ticket from 3 years ago. It's going to be $300. I don't have to stay in jail or anything, but they do have to take my mug shots. They do have to fingerprint you because that's part of the deal. So here I am getting fingerprinted. And they just tell me to sit down. They don't actually ever even put me in a jail cell or nothing. They just told me to sit in this chair. So I'm sitting in the chair and I know what I told her and I know that she'll be up there soon. So now there's like, I'm in a back portion. Okay. And I can see through the glass and I can see into the lobby and I can see my wife in there.
Yeah.
And she's talking to the girl up front. I'm assuming they're
all's well.
They're paying the ticket. Right. And at this point I don't have my handcuffs on anymore. Like the guy uncuffed me. I'm not in danger. I'm not a criminal.
Yeah.
Anyways, at some point the cop goes up there, the one that arrested me. And he's up there, and I could see him talking through the glass to my future wife. He comes back to me and he goes, "Is your girlfriend DeLee?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Man, if I would have known that, I wouldn't have arrested you." I go, "What?" He goes, "I would have let you off, dude. It's just a registration ticket. I would have said, hey, look, you need to come down and take care of it." I was like, "Are you kidding me?" He's like, "Man, I'm sorry. But, you know, I've already got you done here. I have to do it.
It's done."
So they let me out like 15 minutes later, and we're walking out, and I look at my now wife, and I said, "Do you know that cop?" She goes, "Well, yeah, I think I do. I recognized him from the restaurant." This is where she used to wait tables.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, "Dude, why didn't you say anything?" "Well, I didn't know if it was him or not." I was like, "Well, he just told me if he knew it was you, he would have let me go." So and what would have been like just a normal, just pay a fine, turned into me being arrested and laughed at and mocked at by children. So that ended up costing me like $400 snow cone. And I could have got out of it.
$400 snow cone.
All she had to do was open her mouth.
Whoa.
You know?
And I love it.
It's funny now, but at the time I was pretty pissed off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 It's funny now. It's funny when you tell it in front of her. That's the best, because you could tell that she gets embarrassed every time you bring it up. She's like,
"My wife is."
Yeah, I probably could have got him out of it.
Well, and she's like that. She doesn't like confrontation. So, like, if she don't know you, like, really know it's you, she ain't gonna say anything. She's like a scared dog, like won't look you in the eye. You know, just kind of trying to minds her own business. But at sometimes you got to stand up.
I love it, dude. I love it. I love the. It's just funny to me.
And that was the only time I was like ever arrested where like. I felt innocent. You know what I mean? Like all the other times I'm like, yeah, you got me. Yeah, I'm being a jackass. You know, it's late. Fooling around doing it. I'm up to no good. I'm not mad.
You caught me.
This was the time I was like, are you kidding me?
You caught me. I get it. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. You caught me.
But those days are over now.
It's not fun
now. I like to think that they're over.
Like I said, I was never arrested, but I was.
You should have been though.
I should have been. I was detained. I was cuffed and detained one time.
Yeah, they got to do that.
Yeah, I was. But I mean, I wasn't detained on the scene. I was like cuffed and detained and brought down to the sheriff's department and then taken in the back and questioned before I was released.
But I never felt the need to like freak out to the level of
I would get tased or
something. You ever see that where they're like tasing people? They're like, just put your hands behind them. And they're like, getting shocked. And they're like, just put your hands. I'm not resisting, sir. Yeah. I'm not resisting. I'm like, yes, you are. Do you not understand what resisting means?
I don't know what other
states. I don't know
states.
How those cops do it. Like,
no,
my hat's
no
off
way.
To them.
Yeah, there's
That's
no
an
way.
Incredibly hard job, right? Especially now.
Yeah.
Because there's the thin line of using force to do your job and then using too much force where now you're freaking getting sued.
But back when we were kids, it was just like the way we used to grow up is the cops were always right. That's the way we was raised. That was it. And they would use any means necessary to get you in that car. They did not care.
But don't you think that in turn led to people being respectful of the police? Like
I
today,
know I
it
was.
Seems like young kids don't respect the badge. You know what I'm saying?
There was no taser when we were kids. It was either you got your ass whipped or they shot you. Either way, you're going.
But I'm saying,
yeah.
Doesn't it
yeah.
seem like kids nowadays, they don't respect it?
Well, and it's also, too, because a few bad apples have ruined the whole bunch.
Yeah,
and that's the way the whole thing works.
Everybody loves the firemen. Nobody respects the cops, though.
They had the light on me and all that stuff, all that crazy shit like you see in the movies. They had the light, and they was one sheriff was standing up, and the other one.
Bad cop?
Yeah, they were working that whole thing on me, and I'm like, bro, you know, and it's one of those whole deals. I'm not going to get in. I think there's still a statute for it, so I'm not going to get into what went down. So we're just going to leave it.
Was it a federal crime? Were you a mule? Were you keistering things?
Yeah, maybe. I might have had some keistering.
Were you sitting there already contemplating, let's see, am I going to be like an Aryan brother, or am I going to go? What group am I going to join?
Dude, I had already made it in my mind. I'm like, they're gone. I'm gone. I'm like, that's it. It's over. This is it. This is the way it ends. Like, I've gone. I've had too much fun, and I've passed that line. Because, you know, there's a little voice in the back of your head telling you not to cross a certain line. And I had looked at that line, and then, like, Evel Knievel, like, woohoo, just jumped over. Yeah, it was just not a good thing. So. Was one of those deals. But yeah, I'll tell you about a crazy thing that like we were laughing about. Everybody that listens knows, you know, we've hunted our entire lives and I'd grown up bow hunting my whole life, but I had never really gone pig hunting. I'd never really gotten into pig hunting. And it also wasn't a big deal. Like when we were in high school, I remember pig hunting, you know, guys talking about shooting them, but I don't ever remember going after them. It just wasn't a thing. It's like they made their way up.
I was to say, I don't think later. There was near as many then as there is now.
You had to go off places to find them in Texas. They weren't as many as what's around us now. Like, literally from where the studio sits to where I hunt is 15 minutes away, and there's hogs everywhere out there.
You can go 1 mile from here down this road, and there's traps out in the fields where you can see guys are trapping wild hogs.
Yeah, because they're encroaching in everything.
They trap them and then they butcher them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I went with a buddy of mine named Stephen Donenhauer, the one I've talked about before that got killed in a plane crash several years ago. And he had a place that he was leasing out here west of where we live by a couple hours, a place called Albany, Texas. And it was a ranch he was on out there. And this ranch was 25,000 acres. But he leased a pasture himself that was like 800 and something in one pasture, 800 acres in one pasture. And then he had another pasture he was on that was like 1,200 acres. But we were only in the 800 pasture at this point. So we get in there.
Which is not. It sounds large. That's not a massive size ranch for Albany, Texas.
No. The one beside it ended up buying that ranch that we were on, the 25,000 acre ranch. The one that adjoined it was 60,000 or 70,000. No, maybe it wasn't that many. Maybe it's 50,000 or 60,000. And they ended up buying that ranch that we were on there. But yeah, you're talking about getting out in places that lots of times animals had never seen people. Like, you're out in places like, you know, I've been on the King Ranch before. You're out in places where animals have never seen people. They don't even know what you, like, you walk up to whitetail, they're 30 yards from you just looking because they're not really sure what you are. So we're out here on this whole deal.
The King Ranch is bigger than Connecticut.
Yeah, it was crazy. And it's, well, you talk about dark down there, dude. And it's, when there's no light pollution, it's awesome. Or it used to be. This is back in the day. So we're on this ranch out here. And he's like, all right. He goes, I've got a cull buck I want you to shoot if he comes in. And basically this deer was like a 4.5 to 5-year-old deer, and he was a 4-point. So he had 2 points on both sides, fork horn, but he was big. Like, he's 18 inches wide, just 2 big giant forks on either side, like a mule deer. It was awesome. And I did see him, but I chose this pig. So it's cold weather. It's in December. I'm sitting out here and I'm in a ground blind, and I'm waiting and waiting and waiting, and he's actually in a stand not far from me, and he's watching this whole thing, right? And he's got his recurve with him because he was going to shoot at some pigs too. So as the sun starts coming up, we've corned the road. So we've put corn out on the road, just like sprinkled, not much, just enough to slow them down as they're crossing across this part and this just dirt road out here where we're hunting, just off to the side of it. No feeder up, no nothing like that. But this is a trail that these pigs had used. So we had scattered corn so they would stop in the road in a clearing and give me a shot. And as the sun starts coming up, you know, like when you're up in a tree, you're elevated, you get more light to your eye as it's coming up so you can see more down. So he's seeing these critters, and we've got radio headsets on. So he's telling me, he's like, psh, there's pigs coming in. And I'm all excited. I hadn't killed one. And mind you, I'm like 21, 22 at the time. So I'm going crazy, and it's like, and I'm on the ground in this brush blind, and I can't see anything but this black spot moving. And it's what I think on the ground. It looks like it's as big as a grizzly, right? Like, I'm freaking out. I'm 21 yards from it, and this thing looks huge. I'm like, oh, it's one of those 300 pounders. This thing probably only weighed 180 pounds. I think is what it weighed, 180, 190. So I don't think it broke 200. If it did, it was close, but I'm not sure that it broke 200, but he was pretty good sized. And he comes up, this pig, and he's facing, like, left. If you're looking at him broadside, his head's on the right. So I get my bow ready, right? And I'm like, okay, here we go, as the sun starts creeping up. And I'm waiting for him to move his leg closest to me, which would be his right leg, forward. Because when he takes a forward step with his right leg, he's exposing his vitals. It allows me to get an arrow into his heart and into his lungs and dispatch him quickly and cleanly as fast can be. So I clip on with my release. I draw the bow back. It's perfect daylight. I mean, it's good. He's glowing out there in front of me for the time it is. Like, it's not bright. The sun's not up, mind you, okay? Mm. It's just that glow, like that fuzzy glow, right? So I can make him out, and I can still see both sides of him, but he's black. So I can't make him out perfectly, you know, every detail on him. I just see a black outline, and boom, he steps forward, and I let it go. Boom, right behind his arm and right behind his right leg. But as I stated, wasn't that bright. And that wasn't his right leg that moved forward. It was his left. His right leg is still right in the area that I'm shooting at.
Right. You can't tell because of
I can't tell. It's light, dark the way he's standing. And I hit him in the right leg, right into his vitals, but it only goes in like 2 inches. And it cracks. And he takes off running. And I'm like, oh, I've wounded, you know, and I'm freaking.
Did he start spinning?
No. He just turned tail and started running directly away from me across a pasture. And he run past a mesquite tree and knocked my arrow out. But he's limping because I have broken his leg with this shot. So I bust out of the ground blind and I'm like, I got to go get him. Yeah. I have to go put another one in him. So I'm running. And I'm like, I can't believe I wounded this pig, and I'm chasing this pig. So and this all is going down over, like, he runs off and stops, and I don't know where he stops. I'm trying to track him and glass him. So I grab, you know, that arrow fell out. I didn't even stop to get it. I'm just keep going. I've got a few more arrows. I'm moving away. Then I'll see him, and I'm pulling my binoculars, and I'm like, oh, he's 100 yards, and he's standing. You know, he's not. Because he's not vitally hit.
Right.
He's not bleeding bad. It's a little blood, but he's not vitally hit, but he is bad injured. And I'm like, I can't leave him like this, you know. We don't have our guns with him. They're back at camp. You know, this is during rifle season, but we're bow hunting this pasture. So I start slipping up on him, and I would get within 40 yards, you know, where I could probably get a good shot off, and then he would run again. And we go at
adrenaline.
This again. Yeah, he's just not stopping, and he'll run again. We play hopscotch like this. I don't even realize how far we've gone. And apparently we traveled about a mile across this. There's no fences. I mean, there's only like 2 fences in that whole 800 and something acres. So we're just going through pasture and through mesquite flats, and I'm just slipping through. And he finally makes his way up on top of a knob, like a little round knob of a hill. And on top of it is brush, about 3 foot tall. And it's in a spot about as big around as a swimming pool. And he runs into it, into that brush. And he decides, I guess there he's had enough of me following him. Now he's going to make his final stand. So when he stops, I'm like, okay, here we go. Now, mind you, I have had an adrenaline dump. I've been chasing this thing. I'm exhausted. I'm shaking. Like, I don't even know if I can draw my bow. Like, I'm wore out. So I can hear him in there, and they start popping their jaws like they're sharpening their teeth with the, you know, so it's just, you can hear the as he's clicking and he's grunting. He's pissed. So I get my arrow out, and I slip up there, and I'm like, all right. And I draw back on him, and I take a shot, and it deflects through some brush because I'm trying to just put another one in him. It deflects and doesn't hit him. And here he comes. And he comes running out at me, and I'm jabbing him with my bow, right? I'm like, I'm pushing him. I am freaking out. So he finally turns and runs back in the brush. And I'm like,
I mean, if he clipped an artery or something in your leg,
I'm hurting.
I mean, you could bleed out before you got back to a hospital.
Yeah. And he's, you know, he's almost hip tall when he comes at this, and he looks like a werewolf. And he's got that long, and he's close enough, like literally whatever my bow was axle to axle, 34, 36 inches. Yeah, that's the distance. He's 3 foot. He's snapping at me, and I'm hitting him with the bottom limb of my bow as he's running, and we're circling like I'm bullfighting. And I guess I'm screaming. I mean, I don't know if I was yelling or if I was just so scared I couldn't make any sound. I don't even remember that part. But I know I hit him with it until he come back. Until he circled and ran back, and I thought he was going back in the brush, but he doesn't. He goes back in the, like, almost to the brush, and then he changed his mind. He's like, I ain't through with him yet. And he comes at me again. This time he knocks the bow out of my hand. So now the bow hits the ground, and I've got both of my hands on his shoulder, and I'm like running as he's trying to circle me, like you're pushing a dog away. So I've got my left hand is up by his neck on his left side, like by his left ear. And my right hand is like right behind his left shoulder. And he's grunting and slinging his head. And I'm pushing him. And dude, I am freaking out. And I'm just circling and pushing him and circling and pushing him. And I'm finally like start kicking him. And he runs off in that brush. So now I am tore up. My hands are shaking, dude. Man, it's horrible. Like, I am freaked out.
That's it. I'm just letting him bleed out.
And I'm like, done. What am I going to do? So I get my bow, and I pull one, and pow, and I let one fly, and I drill him. Smack! And it goes through him. Well, then he comes at me again. So I've hit him high lung, and here he comes again, charging. At this point, I'm out of arrows. I only had like a 4-arrow quiver. So I've got one that's out, one that broke the blades. This one went through, and I don't even remember. Oh, the other one, I had a blunt on it for shooting if I wanted to shoot at rabbits or whatever else was out there. So it's useless. So I'm like, what am I going to do, right? So I'm running around. He runs at me. I hit him with the bow again, and I run back. The only tree within 100 yards of this stuff is like a 3-foot-tall mesquite tree. That's it. So I can't climb a tree. I can't get away from him at all. And I didn't realize that we were in the corner of the property of this part of the ranch, that the neighboring ranch is right across the fence. I had no idea. So I circle over to the other side of the brush where my arrow popped out of him at, and I find it, and I pick it up, and I'm like, I'm using it again. And I get it knocked, and by this time, he's hurt bad. And he makes one more bluff run at me and stops. And I mean, he's furious. And I'm like, dude, I'm scared. He's hurt bad. Finally, it turns, and I stick him in the head. Smack, and drop him. I mean, I just brain him with my last arrow and put him down. And I'm like, I can't believe I just had to go through all this with a pig. You know, it's like, because I'm a jackass. I made a horrible shot. This is what I had to do. Me and this pig's been in battle, right? I'm freaked out. I feel awful. It's one of those adrenaline dumps where you're almost sick at your stomach. Like you've been, I'm like, I can't believe. And my buddy Steve's not even caught up yet. He's nowhere in sight. I had no idea where he went when I took off. This whole thing's just been rolling. I'm scared shitless. I'm trembling. The pig's laying there dead. I'm like, I've got to go find Steve. We got to get the truck up here. I'm like, this is a lot of work. And behind me, now mind you, it's just me and Steve. I've not seen anybody else on this 25,000 acres. Nobody else is even in camp. No other hunters are there at all. It's like nothing.
Was there cattle on this place?
Yeah, but not in this pasture.
Okay.
So but they were in some few other pastures. They run some cattle on it, but they didn't have them on it at this time in this pasture we were in. So I don't think there's anybody around me for 100 miles, right? I mean, like, there's nothing. I'm out in the middle of just brush in West Texas. And it's not even, like, far West Texas. Like I said, it's only a few hours from here. And I hear this voice. And all I hear is, holy shit, that's the craziest thing I ever seen. I turn around, and there is a dude standing there. Where he come from, he might have fell on my ass for all I know. I have no idea how he showed up.
Is this guy real, or is it just like a ghost?
No, this is dude, he was scared like a ghost. Real dude. Got a rifle on his shoulder, wearing jeans and sneakers and a camo shirt and a jacket, like a camo jacket, and his ball cap. And he's got a look like he's seen a ghost. And I'm looking at him, and I go, where did you come from? And he's like, I'm hunting this ranch right here. And he turns, and he points behind from behind me, because I had already turned and faced him. So he's pointing behind him now, right, from where he come from.
Yeah.
He said, I'm in that rifle stand. Well, I go to look, and I pull my binoculars up. I'm like,
shit. He watched the whole thing from a rifle stand?
He watched the whole thing from a rifle stand. He was hunting. Here's what it was. His brother-in-law is on the ranch that neighbored this ranch, was hunting on it. This guy is from, like, I don't remember where he was from.
Childress?
Wasn't even in Texas. This dude was, like, from out of state. They had come down to spend time with family around Christmas, was going to stay till New Year's. So this is all taking place,
he's
I
like
think,
from
between
Des Moines
Christmas and
or something.
It's something like that. He was, like, from Illinois or Indiana or Iowa, something like that, where they don't have pigs.
Yeah.
So he's up, and this dude's freaking out. And he's sitting up there. And he goes, all I know is, he said, I was sitting in my stand and I see this pig run over this hill. And he said, I pulled my rifle up on this pig and then I see you run over this hill. And he's like, I'd heard about pigs. He goes, but I ain't never seen no shit like this. And I go, so let me ask you something, buddy. He's like, yeah. I go, you watched the whole thing with that rifle. It never dawned on you. Maybe take a shot. Maybe get down and come help me out. Huh? Never dawned on you. He's like, I couldn't even hardly breathe. I didn't know what was going on. I'm like, you didn't know what was going on. I'm like, bitch, I almost got ate up here. And this is what, he was so freaked out. He's like, I'm getting out of here, man. He's
if
like,
I was up there, I would have done the same thing. I would have just watched. That's all I'm going to see how this guy's going to work out.
I'm just going to see how this plays out. Yeah. He hauls ass. He hops the fence. He's like, he goes, I'm leaving.
I'm
he's
done.
Like, that's what he told me. He's like, I ain't hunting up here no more. He's like, this shit's dangerous. I'm not messing with it. I'm out of here. So he left. By that time, Steve finally shows up. I'm like, dude,
he's
where
like,
were
what
you
the
at?
The, what's going on?
He's like, who was that guy walking off? So I tell him the story. Steve starts laughing. As he was coming to meet me, he shot a deer with his recurve. So he had to track the deer down that he got with his recurve and get it back to the road before he ever got to me, before he's gone back to get his truck. It was total madness. And that ain't even the first time I got chased. I got chased by two more on the same ranch, not in the same pasture. And one of them, I panicked again, and I threw my bow at one of them this last time.
Yeah, that's not really how you're supposed to bow hunt.
No, I shot this one. I got up on it. This one, it was dead. Its buddy was with it. I mean, I killed one of them. It ran off and cratered. When I went to it, two of its buddies was with it, but one of them was further out. It comes running at me. As it comes running at me, I turned to run, and my bow, I say through, but it kind of tangled up in the limbs, and then it tangled up in the the pig's feet, and I start running, and it steps on my quiver. I used to have the quiver. It had the aluminum arm that made it mount to the bow. It had bent the quiver and had a big scuff mark where its hoof stepped on it. It's chasing me. I have to grab a little tree and like swing around it, you know, 180 to get it to pass me. Like I look like a rodeo clown. This time nobody's out there to see me. It's during spring turkey season at
this
point.
You got to get you a GoPro.
Dude, I was freaking out. So it runs. It finally goes back by its dead buddy and it's standing there. Then I shoot that one that just chased me. I pick my stuff up, shoot it, and pin it to a tree, killing it. And then I start trying to get after its other buddy, and its other buddy runs at me a little bit and runs off. But yeah, apparently the pigs like that. So now, like when I'm pig hunting, I have to pig hunt out of a, like a deer stand or what. I don't get around on the ground anymore. I don't have that kind of luck. Although when I was hunting in Seymour, we had a ground blind built out of like bamboo fencing.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in it and I'm hunting a feeder just for pigs. Like it smells like a pig lot, like a cow lot down there. And I can't wait. This is my first night in this stand. My brother-in-law Durant set it up. I'm pumped, right? And it starts to get dark. The feeder goes off and I can hear them coming in behind me. And I'm like,
oh, it's prime time now.
I'm stacking swine today. And one big red one comes up and starts rubbing on the side of the blind that I'm in, like scratching. Oh, no. And I'm like, what in the hell? And I mean, he's like right here rubbing and they wind me because he's right on top of me. And then of course I didn't get a shot off and they all busted off. But yeah, that was my pig attack story. That was the wildest. That one. I've had some really wild stuff happen, but that was the wildest pig attack story that I've ever had go down.
Man, that sounded intense. I would have loved to have been in that tree stand now watching that.
Dude, that guy, I wish I could find that dude. I really would. Because
you know he's around sometimes still telling people.
Story.
I went to Texas one time and I hunted.
You're not going to believe this.
Yeah. Those guys actually wrestle with the pigs.
That was why I wish I could find him. God, I wish I could find that dude because I would love to have him call in and tell his version of what he saw go down.
Do you remember one of my favorite episodes we ever did is when we had that Gary Christensen on and he told the story of the guys that dressed up as Sasquatch and terrorized those school kids?
The kindergartners. I told that story on AJ's podcast when she had me on it.
Oh, did you?
She asked me what my favorite story of all time of these strange stories were, and that's the one I told. And it's my favorite one because it ended up being a hoax.
Yeah, the kids were terrified for years, and some of them were like adults before they realized it was a prank.
I remember Gary saying this, that he had gone to the school when they had, but he was up there investigating a real case.
Yeah, and retell then, it, because
yeah,
don't know.
He went up there. You can go back and listen to it if you find it, but this is, I'm probably getting it wrong, and I'll paraphrase it. I know I'm probably screwing it up, but the way I remember it is something along the lines, like he had gone up there to investigate a case. Or he was up there for family. That's what it was. And anyway, somebody else brought up another sighting that happened in this town. And it happened during Halloween. And it happened where kindergartners, first graders, were out on the playground. And a Bigfoot runs up out of the creek, throws a stump or a rock at the kids, starts raising a ruckus. They call the police. The police show up. They shoot their guns at it. And it runs off in the brush. And they rush all the kids inside. That's pretty much the gist of the story. So Gary's like, holy shit, I got to find out about this story, right?
So he starts looking.
So he starts digging in. And he starts finding out the people. He gets a yearbook and he goes to the yearbook and he starts finding the people that were in the class in the year that this happened. And he finds some people still living there. So he goes to start talking to them and they remember this.
They're like, hell yeah, I remember that. How could you forget?
Yeah, exactly. So they bring up the point of a teacher and then they bring up the fact that one of them's like, oh, well, our principal at the time still lives. He's still alive. And these people were in their 40s at the time this was going on. And he said that a lot of them were like, I've never gone in the woods since that day again. Like, it's traumatized me and all this stuff. So he goes to ask the principal. And he gets a meeting. And this guy's like in his 80s whenever Gary met him.
Yeah.
And Gary's like, you know, I need to ask you about this, this, and this. And the guy's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, the time all this went down, the guy was like, oh, shit, yeah, I remember that. He's like, it was all a joke. He's like, we did it because it was Halloween. We did it to scare the kids. The cops were in on it. They were shooting blanks.
Yeah, yeah.
And Gary was like, did you ever tell the kids later that it was a joke, that it was a guy in a monkey suit? And they're like, no. He's like, because these people are messed up from this whole thing. Yeah. And he explained it, and the guy was like, it never crossed our minds to do that. So Gary had to go back and tell the woman, dude, it was all a joke. And I don't even think she believed him.
Yeah. Well, you can imagine as a kid that would scar you, and then later... Oh. 35, 40 years later, they're like, no, that wasn't real. You'd be like, man, I don't know.
But, well, think of it as like we were talking about, just like my memory of the pig attack, your memory of the arrest. There's things that have changed as it goes.
Sure. Absolutely.
So you know you've left some things out. So as a imagine how much scarier it is for those people now after their imagination has developed and their mind has developed, the older they've gotten, they've made it way scarier than what it actually was when it happened to them.
Yeah.
Because of that impact that it had. Yeah, but I that's my favorite story, I think, out of all the stories we've ever done, because it wasn't, it's not the fact real or not, it's just the way it was told, because it makes the prime example of what we've always talked about. It doesn't matter if it's real or not, it has an effect on the person that experienced it.
That's exactly right.
And that tells, that
the effect is the same.
Yeah.
Whether you physically were abducted by extraterrestrials or you think that you
believe you were, you had an
experience. The effect on you and your psyche is exactly the same, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's probably literally my all-time favorite story.
It's one of mine, especially when it comes to Sasquatch. And the fact that it was a hidden gem from a guy I never heard on any other show. The only reason we bumped into him is we had just started.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what I was doing, but
I remember I remember how we found out about it.
How did we find out?
Dr. Stepich had something happen on his deer lease. That's the guy that they sent him to in contact with. That's a researcher for BFRO. And then we got his name and number from Dr. Stepich. And then we contacted Gary. And then you went and met Gary and hung out. I wonder if he's still alive.
I don't know. I still got his business card.
We need to get back in touch with him and see what else he's got. I'm see if we can have him pop in and do some chatting. That would be fun to go back and talk to. But we talked to Gary then, and I remember, you know, he was great. But I also remember all the stories that he told us off air of stuff that he's got all the paperwork where he really can't share it. He just kind of gave us the overview. And that shit's way crazier than any stories we've ever covered. I mean, like, we've got probably 10 or 12 stories that he shared with us that I wish we could get the paperwork on and really go into depth about, because it was, there's some of that stuff that's just ridiculous.
And that's the hardest part about doing something like this, is there's a lot of information you find or you get emails from people and they don't want you to share it.
Yeah.
But, which is always what leads me back to when you start exploring a certain subject and you're like, man, I don't know if that's real. And then but why would these people share this stuff? And then they don't want me, they don't want any fame from it.
Yeah.
They just want to tell me. I just wanted you and Cam to know that I saw this. This is what happened. Please don't share it. And everybody, I've only told a handful of people, they'll think I'm crazy, but I experienced this. And that's what always makes me wonder. For every one of those, there's got to be a couple hundred that don't come forward.
Don't come forward.
Right?
Yeah. Well, we've got a bunch of those saved in a file of ones that we can't share that people have sent us. And I'll tell you something else that I really enjoy from getting from all of y'all. We have gotten this is the byproduct of something that me and this dude sitting across from me never expected, is the number of emails that we've received from people that said we've helped you through a tough time.
Those are the ones I don't know how to feel about those. I feel good, obviously, but it's just like, I never thought I'd be helping somebody.
And it means the world to me to know that just hearing our voice and chatting with y'all and cutting up and just being ourselves relieved something or helped y'all through something, man. And we get those emails, and even though we may not respond, the main reason we don't respond to emails or messages that you send to us that get to us like that is because we don't know how. Like, I really don't know how to voice and tell you, oh, it's no big deal, or oh, that's cool, man. Like, it means more than I can actually put into words, because I'm not smart. I don't have all the prose of a masterful poem or a songwriter, you know, or poet. I don't know how to put those into words to tell you thank you, because it feels like, I don't know. I just don't feel like I should accept any sort of gratitude just by telling stories and just being myself, or like literally, like we've said, I've sat beside this jackass my entire life. So what you're hearing from us is the conversations we have every day on the phone, or when we're sitting at our houses, or when we're watching fights with one another. Like, these are the same things. It's just an hour out of our day that you're hearing that goes on every day. It's just madness. So when y'all talk about it, it really means way more to me than I can ever explain. And so if we helped anybody, thanks. I mean,
yeah.
But you don't have to thank us. We're just glad that everybody's doing okay. We just want people to be happy. I'm not picky. I don't have any sort of like negativity, and that's why I don't stand negativity. If you come on my Instagram page or my Facebook page, or you write something negative about a post I make, even if you're being a smartass, I'm deleting you and blocking you. I don't need that in my life. I don't deal with that stuff face to face. I don't deal with it socially on any kind of social media. I get to pick who I let in and who I don't let in.
Yeah, so, I'm the same way. You can't go down that path. Once you start like trying to interact with trolls, you're going to look up and be like, I'm wasting all this energy and time on stuff that's a waste. Like you're saying, exactly. I want to be negative, but do it somewhere else. I ain't got time for it.
Yeah, we get negative reviews, negative emails, negative all that stuff. And I'm like, that's your opinion, dude. But I don't give it any more energy than that because it's not worth my time. No. I mean, in the end of the day,
not everybody's going to like you. That in the end of the day, that's the way the world is. Not everyone's going to like you.
And that's I'll go ahead and drop another little brain nugget on everybody. Guess what? We're all going to die. So you better find some happiness and you better enjoy the time you have and have fun with the people around you because you're not going to do anything anybody else hasn't already done. You're going to end up in the same spot. We're all going to come to an end one day. Everybody listening to this. So you might as well make the best of it. Enjoy yourself. And I love it that people talk about laughing. We get messages. Now we're getting messages. Y'all talking about this show about Kyle's dad kicking off door hinges or we were talking about the goat eating stuff. You want to hear another crazy one? Kyle had a neighbor that we talked about. We were going to tell stories about.
Boy, here we go.
His name was Larry Aiken. We can say whatever we want because Larry's dead. Larry's been dead for years.
You should tease the Larry Aiken until next time.
Okay, I will. But I will tell one story that involved him. Kyle and I used to love me and Kyle and his little brother, LP, which stands for Little Filson. It was always madness. We would always build rocket launchers. And I may have talked about this because we set the field beside Kyle's house on fire one time with Laws tubes. Like we would take bottle rockets and make them like take PVC tubes and put like metal cans on for the back and put handles and sights and paint them where it looked like you're in the movies.
Person behind you would light it and tap you on the helmet like they do in the World War II movies. And it would bounce rockets off horses' backs.
Yeah. I come over to their house. I'm driving my truck, 16 years old. I whip in their driveway. Had a long gravel driveway with a bunch of like live oaks, but they were the short scrub oak live oaks. I'm about halfway down the driveway, and all I see is this movement in the oaks, and somebody steps out, and a rocket comes screaming down the driveway.
Like the movie Firestarter.
Yeah. And it hits me in the windshield of my truck and kicks straight up in the air. That may have been the one that started the fire on the neighbor's place. I don't know. Straight up. They're launching rockets at me. So one day, Kyle's little brother is over at Larry Aiken's house. Larry Aiken was a professional vodka drinker. Now, we'll get into that, too, later. This is an old man.
Now, when we say neighbor, his property bordered ours. But, like, say from our swimming pool to his house was probably 200 yards.
Probably that far. Yeah. So Kyle and I get the rocket launchers, right? And you have to imagine, these are a bunch of, like, this is before we were, like, 14 at the time this was going on. And we would terrorize Larry because Larry would terrorize us, but he was drunk. He was retired. He was drunk. This is an old man that drove around in a neon. He had his like a big boy hat, like the trucker caps back when they weren't popular. It had the rope that you could pull down for a chin strap. You know what I'm talking about? One of those big flat bills. It was
the scrambled
neon
eggs
green.
On the top.
Yeah. Yeah. And the scrambled eggs on the bill. It was neon green and he drove a blue Mazda Miata. And he was leathery like a pair of Tony Llamas. Yeah, and he smoked like Black and Milds, drank vodka, and wore a neon green matching Speedo throughout the summer. And he wore moccasins when he walked around in the yard.
What's the movie?
Just telling the story.
Not Leaving Las Vegas, but the one with Johnny Depp when they're supposed to be Hunter S. Thompson. What's the name of that movie?
Fear and Loathing.
He reminds me kind of dressing like him, but just much older.
And he was, it was so
he always
great.
Had a cigarette in his mouth.
Barely
just
hanging
in his
in.
Teeth.
Yeah. Drunk as Cooter Brown.
And he used to tell us
time.
He was Native American.
Yeah.
And that he could sneak up on us and kill us anytime he wanted to.
Yeah, that he could move in silence. He could move like the wind in total silence.
Because we used to camp out a lot out in the woods.
And just so you know, folks, I'm going to go ahead and give you the heads up on this. A spoiler alert, he couldn't. He didn't move real quietly. So we're over on Kyle's deck by the pool with the rockets, right? And the bottle rocket launcher. And Kyle's little brother's coming back over from Larry's house. And Larry had a little shop. And his little brother goes to climb through the fence, and about the time he goes to climb through the fence, I'm not paying any attention, Kyle lets a rocket go at him, and it's screaming all the way across the pasture, just, and except this time, it's actually accurate. Like, it's not just wheeling off into the dirt. It looks like it is on a wire heading right towards his little brother. His little brother crawls through the fence and turns and has this, oh, shit, look on his face and freezes, and he can't be but like 11 at the time. And he legitly freezes in place. And this rocket is headed right at his sternum. Just, and we're like, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit. And he dives. And when he dives out of the way, it goes right through the fence and hits Larry's shop and just explodes like in a movie. Black marks the side of the whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he came. I don't even know if he even knew it hit it. I don't think he even knew what hit it.
I don't think he did.
But I thought we killed Kyle's little brother for a second. Yeah, it was. I didn't even fire one at him. I should have, but I was too busy laughing because Kyle legitimately almost killed him. This is the same kid, folks, though. We'll have to tell you about the time that he shot a person with a bow and arrow. his little brother did. He used to also have that gerbil. Houdini.
He got in trouble for on the school bus. The bus driver looked in the rearview mirror and he was grabbing a kid's head and put a plastic knife to his throat.
Yeah.
He made a pseudo phallus in art class and was assaulting a girl with it.
Yeah,
we got kicked off the school bus because
how much trouble he would be in now.
We convinced a kid on the bus that we were narcos and that we were dealing drugs from Colombia and that I had a Lamborghini and that my brother had a Ferrari. I mean, just craziness.
Wait. You remember that night? the mouse tripped your dad in the rain? You remember that? We had gone. There was a gas station out in the middle of nowhere. I'll tell y'all real quick before we get out of here. I just thought of this. Out in the middle of nowhere. And his dad had this Jeep Wrangler, this black Jeep Wrangler. And we'd all ran down there to get drinks. I'm sure his dad was getting some more beer, and we were going to get, like, you know, Dr. Peppers or something like that at the little corner store. This out in the middle of nowhere, just one of those, like, mom-and-pop ran gas stations, you know, that had, like, burrito bar and all this. And it's raining like a son of a bitch at this point. It's coming down. And we stop. We're all sitting in the Jeep. His dad gets out, and he takes about four steps, and there is a drainage in the driveway, you know, in the driveway, the parking lot there, where the water runs off. And there's a mouse, a pretty good size one, field mouse, right in the middle of the water, and he's trying to run upstream. So all he has to do is move 3 inches left or 3 inches right, and he's out of the stream, this mouse. But he's not giving up. He's right upstream. Kyle's dad sees this and goes to put his toe down to kind of kick him over out of the water so he'll, you know, get up on dry land. And when he does it, that sumbitch jumps up on his leg.
Yeah.
Up about knee high, and his dad's kicking slips completely, both feet in the air like in a cartoon, flat of his back in that drainage water. He's soaked to the bone. We don't even know where the mouse went. The mouse just ran off. Favel Mouskowitz was laughing his ass off.
Ratatouille.
At this. We laughed. And of course, Kyle and I are in the Jeep. We're laughing so hard. It's one of those ones that, you know, you better get your laughs out before he gets back in the Jeep because he's going to be pissed. He gets the beers and the drinks, comes back in the Jeep, gets in, and he's laughing so hard. He's like, "You boys see that goddamn mouse?"
Like, yeah, we did.
Like, we saw a mouse whoop your ass.
Oh, man. Well, we got to get out of here. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Till next time, stay out of trouble. I'm Kyle Filson. He's Cam Hill.
Peace, y'all.